Yeah, and it's the comedian's job to take something very simple and make it funny.
Hi, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast, where we interview cutting-edge creative artists, entrepreneurs, and innovators who are changing the world. We also bring you tips and techniques that you can implement. This episode is brought to you by my favorite productivity hack, the Brain FM app, this podcast's hosts, Podbean, as well as my book, Speak From Within. Hey there, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. As you know, I delight in bringing you super cool guests. This week, I have two of my favorite people on the show. Let me tell you about them. First of all, the first one you've heard me rave about because you know I've talked about the Organic Grill on the show before. And I'm going to be talking to Vlad Greenberg, who is one of the managers and owners of the OG of the Organic Grill. And I'm going to be talking to vegan comedian Rory Lutz. And together, they're soon going to debut a new comedy event that they've dubbed the Comedy Kitchen. But before we get into the Comedy Kitchen and what it is and what these gentlemen will hope it'll be, let me tell you a little bit about them. Vlad, as I said, is the manager of the Organic Grill. And the Organic Grill has been working on providing incredible, good-for-you and cruelty-free food for 25 years, and the food is amazing. You've heard me talk about it. Now they're evolving the OG, as we like to call it, into a community hub that's going to offer not only quality food, but a space that educates and entertains. Rory, let me tell you about Rory a little bit. Rory has performed throughout New York City, and he believes that laughter is the best medicine, which I love, you know that. His interactive approach is fun and welcoming. As a vegan, he tries to break stereotypes and show the world vegans can laugh too. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
I am so excited to have you both here. I do want to get into who you are and why you do what you do, but I would love to just jump right in and go tell me about Comedy Kitchen. Vlad, what inspired you to want to do this and to want to transform the Organic Grill into this community hub?
I think it was long coming and almost like a logical progression of things. Over the years, we were working hard on making consistent, unprocessed organic meals that have happened to be vegan, and our strong belief that there is no such a thing as vegan food and not vegan food. Food is either tasty or not tasty, right? Mm-hmm. And as I love to say, that as long as you are not allergic to good food, Organic Grill is the right place for you to visit. And I always try to interact with customers, try to establish personal relationship. Over the years, we became friends with people who are regulars, and we kind of trying to create this spirit of comfort and home. And I want people to come in and feel like it's not only extraordinary food, but a good place to visit, have fun, and kind of feel comfortable. And I think that for vegans and not vegans, it's always about food to go to the restaurant, but not necessarily about things that you can enjoy besides it. And we started to implement live music, events, cooking classes, and other things that hopefully elevate the whole experience. And the reason we wanted to do something special, and I think that Rory Lutz is the best candidate for that, because we wanted to escape and kind of step aside from conventional, traditional comedy show when you just bring somebody who is a moderator, who is a host, and who brings a group of people who just perform. And they're going to perform the same material right after in other venues. Mm. And that's their own things that they create material and they perform it, which is great. But it kind of makes it very not generic, but almost uses us exclusively as a venue, right? And we wanted to create something unique that happens here now and not going to be repeated again. And I think that after I saw Roy once perform at the Organic Grill, it kind of stuck in my mind that he's the best candidate, but it's better him to tell all the details than me.
Well, first of all, I love the notion of a one-of-a-kind show, so that if you're there, you're going to experience something no one has experienced before and no one's going to experience again. And it's a really fun way of making it exciting and right in the moment, right in the present moment, which when I talk to my clients, for example, I talk about being present, being right there. And it sounds to me, Rory, like the kind of comedy that you're doing is very much something that needs to be right in the present moment. But before I get to you, Rory, I will say I want to talk a little bit about what Vlad just said about the Organic Grill. And it's not that I'm trying to be an infomercial, it's that I know, for example, just this past Sunday, I brought a bunch of people to the OG who were not vegan, for example, and who I went, you are going to have to try this place. I know the owners, they're fabulous and wonderful, and everybody was raving about their food. And only part of the reason was because the food was great. Part of it is that you provide a real atmosphere where people feel at home and welcome. So I'm super grateful to you for that. But Rory, getting to you, I would love to talk to you a little bit about the kind of comedy that you do. What brought you to comedy, and what is the Comedy Kitchen going to mean to you as you host it?
Well, first of all, I would just like to thank Vlad for being so sweet and saying that I was perfect for this. I've never been described as perfect for anything, and I kind of wish I
had
you.
It's just a matter of speech. It's just a matter of
I kind of wish I had Vlad in my corner for my divorce. I feel like it would have went better if I had him as a character witness. So I started comedy. I haven't been doing it long. I've been doing stand-up for about 3 years. I've been telling jokes and, for lack of a better term, talking shit since I was born. So it's kind of my natural state. I'm a construction worker, so I tend to work with a lot of different people. So I, over the course of the years, I've talked to just so many people that I actually love. I just love like personal connections. I know Vlad mentioned that as well, and that's why like going to Organic Grill is such a friendly and pleasant experience, because he makes it very personable. So when I'm on stage, part of my identity is that it's almost conversational. It can be very interactive. Because like Vlad, I mean, don't get me wrong, I can go up there and I can do 15 minutes of the jokes that I've done 1,000 times and they work well. But I really do enjoy the spontaneity of like talking to people, asking them kind of off the chain questions and getting answers that you don't expect. And it's like Vlad said when he approached me for the show, at the end of the day, we want the comedians to not have said anything they've said before. So he was like, we're really looking for this to be very unique. And yeah, I genuinely love hosting shows and talking to the crowd. In comedy, they use the term crowd work. I prefer interactions, but they're basically the same thing. And part of my goal when I'm up there is not just with veganism, is like I you guys can't see me right now, but I have an amazing hairline. I have hand tattoos. I have rings. You can hear my voice. People tell me I come off a little tough, a little intimidating. I accept it. I don't like it. But when I'm on stage, I try to use my persona to confuse people. And especially in my life, people don't normally assume that I'm vegan. Like I have, I guess what most people would consider the opposite look than a vegan. They think we're all pale and frail and, you know, screaming about what they should do. I don't really do that. But what that enables me to do is by the time they realize that I am vegan, they kind of like me. for lack of a better term. So that's kind of my way of doing activism, is kind of disarming people with a sense of humor, and for lack of a better term, breaking the stereotypes that most people associate with vegans. Again, like being skinny and pale and not strong and not having senses of humor. And I like to tell people when they say, "You're not what I thought vegans are like." It's like I will retort and be like, "Well, maybe you have a warped idea of what vegans actually are." So that's kind of my approach to this. And comedy, I do it, I'm able to make fun of everyone. So in my approach to doing vegan material, like I'll say I'm vegan, but basically, like, I'm probably the most unhealthy human being on the planet. So like I can't preach to you because I'm fat as a vegan, but at the same time, I'm breaking that stereotype. I'm kind of like a pioneer like that, you know?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I'm not particularly a pale, skinny vegan myself, so I completely understand. And I love the notion that you said, by the time they find out I'm vegan, it's too late. They already like me. Ha ha. So, talk to me a little bit about that notion of breaking stereotypes, for example. Right. When you're talking about that and you're on stage doing what I'm going to describe as your brand of improv comedy, if you will. Is that something that you have uppermost in your mind, or do you sort of let that be part of what's going on while you are just letting yourself be in the present moment?
So, part of it depends on how long I have on stage. So, if I have a 6-minute set, I'm going to try to really showcase my writing ability. If I have 8, 9, 10 minutes, I'm going to try to get some crowd work in. But if I have like 15 minutes, like I kind of throw, not necessarily throw the plan out the window, but I know I have more time to kind of pry into people's minds and maybe find somebody who looks like they're eager to be talk to and interactive with. I'm gonna blame most of my interactions and on my ADHD. Most of the times, like I really do have a plan to go up on stage, and I'll tell myself, "No crowd work, no crowd work." And then, like before I know it, like I haven't told the joke 6 minutes into my set. But don't get me wrong, the place is laughing their balls off, but I've literally abandoned my whole plan. So part of it for me is like trusting my ability to do what I do well, but also enjoying it. Like, I'm gonna be honest, like as a performer, sometimes you have to really put effort in to the discipline of the craft. And that can be not as fun as kind of just going up there and having a conversation with 12 different people. So part of it is discipline. And the fact that I don't have as much as I wish that I did, to be honest with you.
Yes, my husband is what I like to call the ADHD poster boy, so I'll put you both on the poster together. And that notion to me, people who have some of these attention challenges, I find are almost always brilliant. You all have so many thoughts going on at once that it's very hard to stick to any one. And I salute you. It's a more challenging but a more genius way to live. So let's talk about Comedy Kitchen. Let's talk about the plan for it. What you both envision it to be. Vlad, what are your thoughts? If it, what does success with the Comedy Kitchen look like to you? What do you hope to do and what do you hope to bring to the New York City community?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I wish I know the answer. But ideally, we would want people first to be curious and to be open. Once those two things happen, it opens up horizons and opens up ability to be spontaneous and comfortable. And hopefully we can lure them in by good food, kind of make them comfortable. And then when Rory comes in. But I think it is important to emphasize what Rory said about prejudice. I was thinking about what he said, and it looks like all my life I was like working on me not to have prejudice, because I don't know if I ever told you, but I was working as a social worker for many years, and this active listening skills and ability to perceive person as who he is or who she is, in front of you, not what you have in mind, is not a skill, it's a gift. And we should all kind of cherish it. And I remember when I first started social work school here, and we were kind of practicing on each other on one of the sessions. The teacher told other students, "Guys, you should practice with Vlad, because you're not going to assume you understand what he's talking about. You actually have to listen." And he obviously was kind of talking about my lack of language at the time. Okay, so ability to kind of throw into the window your assumption and pseudo understanding of what this person is about is a big skill. And I think that Rory comedy and people who he invites is actually working on kind of taking this superficial surfaces around us, and hopefully getting in touch with real laughs, real people stories. And we were talking about engaging crowd and engaging comedians in the conversation with participants.
Well said.
You might notice sometimes I take a little pause because I'm sort of taking in everything I've just heard.
Oh, I
Because,
thought you just don't hear me,
no.
or you're not
Yeah,
listening.
no, I went and got a cup of coffee. It was no, it because I'm listening to you and I'm thinking to myself, the notion, first of all, I would disagree that it was your, as you put it, the way you were speaking the language at the time. I think probably your professor understood that you already exhibit these ways of behaving, this sort of empathy and this sort of active listening and the ability to glean what someone is saying below the surface, and probably they wanted the other students to learn from
But
you.
the superficial
Oh,
assumptions
sure.
as that if you say in love, you all know what you talking about, when in fact we all mean different things. So when somebody is lacking the language, you kind of have to elicit this real meaning instead of assuming, right? That's what he
Oh,
meant.
sure. No, well, I can totally agree with that. And it's interesting to me though, what you're saying, and I love that you're saying it, is that Rory, and I can't wait to see you on stage now, Rory. I don't think I ever have. Rory has this ability. And I love that. And I want to sort of piggyback on that as I hear you both talk about it, that it sounds to me like you're bringing a real love for the community to what you're achieving here, what you're going for with Comedy Kitchen. And so I'm going to turn the question to you now, Rory. What does success with the Comedy Kitchen look like to you? Where do you envision this going? And how do you envision bringing the audience along for the ride?
Okay, so that's a pretty easy question for me to answer. The success for me means a bunch of people showing up to the show because
Butts in seats. Got
it's
it.
not gonna work if we don't have a dozen people, a couple dozen people to talk to. So that would as comedy, it's very simple. Asses in seats is how we win. So as far as like the vision for the show, I share Vlad's vision for a community type of aspect. We both envision this being like probably a monthly show on the same week of every month. And in a perfect world, we're gonna have returning customers come back. So, and as well as the vegan comedians and the non-vegan comedians, we're gonna have just a whole community of audience members and comedians. So at some point, we start to know each other and just maybe develop small personal relationships with each other. You know, maybe we don't see someone for a month, we ask them what they were up to and we talk about that. Yeah, it's a very, it's not hard to win here. It's basically we need people to come out, we need people to be open-minded, we need people who are willing to talk to us and answer questions, and that's like our job as comedians, is to be able to kind of disarm people. And I booked a great lineup. We have Johnny McDonald, we have Sharon Simon, we have Eric Engel, we have Rob O'Toole, and we have Alexis Bradby, who are all amazingly personable, funny human beings who specialize in that as well. I just want to make sure that we. I'm gonna say it out loud. Improv is probably the one word we want to avoid when dealing with stand-up comedy. And stand-up comedy and improv are kind of like apples and oranges. We're in the same world of performing arts, but it's kind of like two separate entities. Because improv is basically like, hey, I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna act like a tomato for 30 seconds. And stand-up comedy is like, hey, here's a 30-second joke that I've been practicing for 17 months. So, yeah, but we have the comics coming in, and success for me and Vlad is a happy audience who would like to come back, for lack of a better term. And as an extra bonus, I personally would love to have non-vegans come to the show and leave the show saying, "Hey, man, not only was this fucking vegan food amazing, but the guy who hosted that show was hilarious, you know?"
Absolutely,
I love
absolutely.
it. I love it. Well, all of that being said, all of that being said, and I won't use the word improv again. All of that being said, first of all, I've heard of several of the comedians you mentioned, so now I have to figure out how to make myself free on April 17th so I can come to the show. I already have a ticket to something else, but maybe I can sell that ticket. We'll see. But here's the thing. You said that you need people in the audience who are open-minded and who are willing to talk with you. Let me ask you the question. What is your guidance to someone who feels a little shy, who's in the audience, but who feels a little shy? What kind of tip do you have for someone who wants to participate but might be feeling a little hesitant?
That's a great question. So normally in a comedy club scenario, like I said, we are dealing with time restraints. We only have so much time. So normally, if a person is kind of shy or unwilling to talk, we'll just make a very simple joke and kind of eject. We'll hit the eject button on someone like that. But the question is, if someone wants to interact and they may be a little shy, is don't be. It's a comedy show. I know it's a little harder to, but it's a comedy show. And comedians really, and performers in general, really feed off energy. And it can be very difficult to speak up in front of people and ha have your voice heard in front of people. A lot of people are embarrassed to say something stupid. This particular scenario, we encourage you to say the stupidest thing you could think of, because that leads to more funny things. So if you want to ask a stupid question, I want to say this and make sure people hear me say this. There is never going to be a more perfect scenario, location, environment, or opportunity for you to say something stupid to us.
I love it. I love it. I do stand up a little bit, and
So basically, we're going to encourage stupidity.
but in a funny way.
Yeah. Yes.
I love it.
And I also wanted to add, to not to interrupt, just to add, I think that what's different about club, that every day is a different show, every day different comedians, and it just space for laughs. With us, it's a little different. It has ownership, it has kind of atmosphere that Rory and me hopefully trying to transcend to people. And he's very caring, very warm person that can make fun of you, right? So so we that and but it's all going to be done with love, care, and respect. And when we talked about how we see the show, we both agreed that we want people to leave with kind of sense of accomplishment, that they kind of lightened up enjoyed it, had fun, and were respected. And that was kind of our mutual agreement.
I think that's a great set of sort of bylaws, if you will, that this is going to be something that you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh at yourself, maybe. You're going to laugh with other people about things. And it's never going to be in mean spirits. It's going to be something that's going to have at its core kindness and compassion, which I love very much. So I appreciate you saying that, Vlad. And it's interesting, as I was saying, I do stand up periodically and love, love, love it. But it is an interesting way of being because, yes, you've rehearsed, like you said, Rory, you've rehearsed your jokes for the last 17 months or the last 4 years or whatever. But when you're up there, it's still you. And that can have a certain amount of nervousness attached to it. And that's why I asked that question about the audience. But I'm going to go a little bit further for both of you, and I'm going to ask a little bit about your notions of how to prepare for this. So, Vlad, why don't you go first, if you would? What are you going to do to prep for Comedy Kitchen to make it the success that I know you want it to be?
Listen, my whole life journey is self-deprecated humor. So I think I prepared myself. I never took myself very seriously. I kind of had to live with sarcastic parents and the Jewish humor was always kind of preparing me for being independent and not taking into consideration what they say too seriously. All right. So I think I'm prepared for it. I always enjoy good laugh, even at my own expense. And again, this is also about Rory and his comedian crew. I know that they're going to keep it respectful and warm, and they are not going to cross the lines that is going to offend me personally or people that we all inviting.
Awesome. And you know, it's interesting that notion of not crossing a line. There are so many comedians out there that sort of they make their bank on crossing those lines. And it's fascinating because this just does sounds like it's going to be a fun version of that without all of the potential for walking out feeling, wow, that person was kind of a jackass. So personally, I'm like, yay, let's see more of that. Rory, what about you? What are you doing to prep? Aside from getting all the comedians and doing all of that stuff, what are you doing to prep for Comedy Kitchen?
So, what I love about interacting and crowd work is kind of like you kind of almost you can prepare for it, but in reality, how can you prepare for an unknown, right? So we don't know who's coming, we don't know how many people are coming, we don't know what they do, who they are, or what they're about. So there isn't a whole lot of preparing, other than just, for lack of a better term, trusting yourself. Conan O'Brien has a great quote about stand-up comedy and performing in general. He says, over-prepare, 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 over-prepare. And when you get on stage, throw all of that out the window. It's kind of like, so you have it there available to use, but you're not really putting so much pressure on yourself to be mechanical or robotical. So how I prepare is just kind of how I live my life. I really, you could ask my girlfriend, you could ask anyone. I just kind of never stop talking, ever. Like literally, I wake up and it's just nonstop shit talking. So there are very few scenarios where people say words that I'm not ready to make those words funny. For me, it's just basically, like I said, just finding the silly frame of mind. What is what I is kind of the best way to say how I prepare. It's to because if you go up and you do your set, right? You have your set, you've practiced it, the faces you make, the tones you make, the pauses, the cadence, you have all of that. It's just it's a melodical song. It's no different from someone singing a 10-minute song. It's just the same thing. When you go up there with crowd work, there's just, for me, there's just a lot less pressure, to be honest with you, because you're going up there and you're saying, hey, I'm going to talk to people. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't be mad if this doesn't work, that doesn't work. And you just, at the end of the day, you trust the skills you have crafted and trust that you're good at stuff, you know?
I love that. I think that's terrific. It's so fascinating to me, the over prepare and then throw it out the window. There's a certain muscle memory there, but there's also, it sounds to me like what you're saying, that there's a certain mindset, that there's a certain receptivity that you get into to be, as I mentioned earlier, to be present, to be able to do this. And Vlad, I love what you said about coming from a household where sarcasm was rampant. The types of comedy, the types of things that we're going to expect from these different comedians, it sounds to me like expect the unexpected. Rory, do you think that's a fair assessment of what Comedy Kitchen's going to be?
Yes, that is literally our goal, is for you to not be able to tell what's going to happen at any point. Yeah, and it's the comedian's job to take something very simple and make it funny. That's just kind of what we do. We take the ingredients and we present you with jokes.
I love that. And try not to burn the place down. I think that's rule number one. So I'm going to ask you a couple more questions because I could keep you here all day, but I know you both have a day to get back to. Vlad, you first. Who are your favorite comedians?
Oh my God, you want me to have a beef with Rory?
No, you can say Rory. That's fine if that's your answer.
You don't get out enough if I'm your favorite comedian.
That's Colin Quinn is probably one of my favorite and he actually was on our podcast and it's great when you meet someone that you admire and he was just that Roy Wood Jr. I love this guy. Genuinely love this guy and his sense of humor and his view of politics. I think he's really great. That's probably those two.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Those are great comedians. What about you, Rory? Who are your influences and favorites?
I got a bunch. I remember one of my first memories is I was about 6 years old. My parents weren't that attentive. I was with a babysitter. I watched George Carlin and Eddie Murphy Raw back to back by myself,
Wow.
when I was about 6, maybe 7 years old. So that was my those are my f first early influences. And I can't kind of if I had to, I'm more of a George Carlin than anyone. I've grown into more of a Bill Burr type, kind of like the just pointing out hypocrisies and taking your anger but making it funny, because the world is kind of fucked up. I don't know if you guys realized at this point, like, it's a very difficult planet to live on. My favorite comedian of all time is Patrice O'Neill. Rest in peace. He died a few years ago. He was what I believe to be the most genuine, natural comedic talent we've ever seen. Me personally, I my comedic influence that I'm using now in my soul as I go forward to try and be is Chris Farley. I adore Chris Farley
Funny,
as a
funny
human
man.
being. He passed ago many years ago. I met him at some point briefly, and that's when I mentioned preparing and trying to get into a silly mode. So about 20 minutes before I'm going on stage, I will watch Chris Farley's Greatest Hits, and that never lets me down. It always makes me laugh out loud and basically cry laughing. But my influences are basically George Carlin, Eddie Murphy, Chris Farley, Patrice O'Neill. I love Anthony Jeselnik. I think he's probably the best joke writer Earth has ever seen. And I'm probably leaving some people out. Like I love some local talent. Like Mike Favor is a comedian. I think is one of the funniest guys. Quentin Jones is one of the funniest guys I know. David Jin, Kyle Vatters. I mentioned Quentin Jones. Sharon Simon is hilarious.
Oh,
Eric
very
Engel
much.
we have on the show. Yeah, so there's a ton of people I find hysterical. Adam Elliott is a comedian and a writer. He does a lot of dark jokes that not many people appreciate as much as I do, but I think he's hysterical too. But yeah, this is nonstop
Well, you know,
people
it's
here.
so interesting because it's kind of like I'm a singer, for example, and I spend a lot of my time listening to mostly women singers, to be honest. But it's because they're the closest to my heart. It's what I love. It's what I want to sort of immerse myself in. And so you giving such a lengthy list of people who've influenced you and who you love as entertainers, as comedians, is aces in my book, I have to say. So I'm going to give my list of favorites just because the great Robin Williams, the great Bill Hicks, Tig Notaro is hilarious, Eddie Izzard. And right now I'm really getting into the work of Preacher Lawson. I think Preacher Lawson is hilarious also. So
Preacher's a vegan,
yes,
right? Preacher's a
Preacher's a
vegan.
vegan for sure. And just
Sure.
look up his "You are so fluffy" routine, and it is, I can't do it justice, but oh, it is hilarious. Anyway.
Yeah, one of his jokes I remember when he says, "I feel like I have so many friends, so I decided to go
That's right.
vegan."
I
Just
have too many friends. Yeah, and
it.
now nobody will go out to dinner with me, so that's good. Yeah, that's hilarious. And also another local that who I really like is Mike Kaplan. So that's another vegan comedian. But not, you know, none of these people are just for vegans. And that's something that we should talk about with Comedy Kitchen, that it's not an exclusive event, as in you must be vegan to come to this. In fact, if you are interested in seeing some of New York City's best comedians come out and do some really, really funny stuff, you need to come see this show, because regardless of what your lifestyle is, this is a place where you're going to laugh and you're going to eat well. So two huge wins in my book. I would love it if, gentlemen, if you would t say where it's going to be and when it's going to be. Give us the address. Tell us exactly where it's going to be so that people who want to come will know where to go.
Vlad, if you'd like.
So the address is 133 West 3rd Street, next door to Blue Note, across the street from Comedy Cellar. And when is that, Rory?
Oh, that's April 17th at 8:30.
Yeah, and about being vegan or not vegan, we just don't want to differentiate. I never ask people if they're vegan or not. I think that we already have a reputation of uptight communities that is almost like militant and checks each of your steps. And I feel like some people are having a almost like a checklist. Did you read this book? Did you do this? Did you do this? Okay, you're allowed to come in. You're not allowed to come in. I want this to be forgotten. We are happy to see anyone. I never ask if people are not vegan or not vegan. That's not my business. I just want them to have fun and I want them to have good food. And I think Rory is on the same page.
Yeah, and the food is good. So there
Yeah,
you
like
go.
I said, yeah. The goal for us is to have anyone who wants to laugh come through, and vegans will obviously enjoy the food. And in a perfect world, we would show non-vegans how tasty vegan food can be and how funny some vegan comedians can be as well. So we encourage everyone to come out. It's a $5 ticket. That $5 ticket goes directly to your food. So basically, if you buy the ticket and spend $20 on food, the food only costs you $15. It's a win-win for everyone. These comedians are going to be at the Comedy Cellar in a few years now, so come see them before they get too famous and you can't afford to come out and see them.
And there, I mean, all the comedians that Rory talked about, they're great. I know Sharon Simon personally. She's amazing. You are going to have the best time. And I feel a little bit like I'm being an infomercial. I'm not, you know me, I'm pretty neutral about these things, but I am not neutral about places and people I love. And as you can tell, I'm a huge Vlad fan, but now I'm a huge Rory fan as well.
Same.
I right? I mean, that's just how it is. You just got to call it what it is. So, a couple more questions, because as I said, I could keep you all here forever, but I know you've got things to do the rest of the day. Can you please, and starting with you, Vlad, if someone goes, "I want to know more about the Organic Grill, I want to know where to find you all," Can you give us your socials, your website, anything like that, so that if somebody, because I'm going to put it in the show notes as well, but I would love to have that information because people learn things differently. So can you just give us the socials, your website, where someone could find you if they want to know more?
So Organic Grill is doing business for 25 years. We used to be in East Village on First Avenue between 7th and St. Mark's for 23 years. And last 2 years, we are in West Village on 133 West 3rd Street. Our website is theorganicgrill.com. Our socials are on Instagram, Organic Grill. We have a little bit of presence on TikTok, again, Organic Grill. We do live events daily, live music, comedy shows. Our schedule is on a website.
And let me just tell you, I've been to, as you can tell, I'm a fan of the Organic Grill, and I've been to so many of the events, and I've brought so many people, and everyone's always raved. Come to when Wendy Yip is doing she does this open mic night where you can come and you can sing, and she plays piano. She's got like 2,000 songs she can play. So that's another thing that you can do at the Organic Grill. There's tons of stuff. But April 17th, you should definitely consider coming out for Comedy Kitchen. It's the first of its kind. It's going to be the only one of its kind for a while, at any rate, until somebody else figures out what a cool thing this is and starts doing them all over the country. Rory, that was directed to you. And and yeah, so I think it's going to be super fun. Rory, can you tell us, anybody who's listening, where people can find you online and your socials, please?
Oh yeah, I'm a comedian. I'm all over online. Yeah, and any help gaining followers would be much appreciated, guys. I'm funny vegan dude on Instagram. My name Rory Lutz, Rory, on TikTok and Facebook and YouTube. Constantly posting stupid jokes that I do, and check me out. I do shows around the city if you guys want to come out. Yeah, and any support would be greatly appreciated. I'm trying to be the world's funniest vegan comedian. Maybe Preacher Lawson might hold that title right now, but I'm breathing down his neck in a few years.
Sharon Simon also is going to give you a run for your money, but hey, that's a competition I can totally support. I'm like, yeah, best funniest vegan comedian. I'm all about supporting that. And I'm going to put all that information in the show notes so that if you're interested in finding out more about the Organic Grill or the OG, as we affectionately call it, and or Rory Lotz, you should definitely check out both of these folks. I have just one more question for you at both gentlemen, but before I get there, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be here and to talk about this because it is the first of its kind, and this show is all about creative solutions to some of our most challenging problems. And this is a creative solution. This is an innovation, and you're using your ingenuity, and you're using your humor, and you're using good food to bring people together in community. So I think that that is amazing, and I'm really grateful that you're doing it. Thank you for being here and talking about it.
Oh, so
It's a
much fun.
pleasure. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, no, it was absolutely my pleasure. So here's the last question. And the question is a silly little question, but I find that it can yield some profound results. And Vlad, I'm going to ask you to go first. And Rory, I'm going to ask you to go. No, actually, I'm going to switch that. I'm going to ask Rory to go first
Thank
because
you. Thank you so much. Thank
because you're the improv guy. Or no, you're the comedy guy. Sorry, my bad.
you.
No improv,
It's
no
okay.
improv. I'm going to put a like a red circle with a line through it over the word and hang it up above my computer so I remember not to say that again.
It's all right.
So Rory, here's the question, and Vlad, I'm going to ask you the exact same question in just a minute. And here it is. If you had an airplane, environmentally friendly, of course, that could skywrite anything for the whole world to see, what would you say?
That's a good question. I have a couple tattoos. Most of my tattoos are reminders of places I've been and growth I've had. So I have two tattoos that read "No one's perfect," and the other one reads "Be yourself." If I had to choose, I would choose that. I would write in the words "No one's perfect, be yourself," because I think a lot of people would just look at it and brush it off. But I live by, if you can help one person, then you've done your job. And I think that that message is something that we all need to have hammered into our, we're not the same. We're all different. Be yourself. because literally none of us are perfect.
I love that. I love that. And honestly, I mean, not to take away from the profundity of your statement, but be yourself. There's that old joke, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Just sort of popped into my head, but it's so true. It's such a truism that being yourself is so important because you are unique in all the billions and billions of people in the world. There is no one like you. So I'm so glad that you're elevating and lifting that up, Rory. I appreciate you saying that. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Vlad, what about you? What are your thoughts to the to that question? Would you like to ask, would you like me to ask it again?
No, I remember. I hope it doesn't sound like a torture, but I would get all my extended family and my kids, my wife, and take them to the island where we don't have a Wi-Fi connection, when we don't have any device, and we are there, hopefully having fun and hashing out all the things that we never said to each other, all right? Because there are so many communication barriers when we don't have time, when we don't have attention, when we busy running. And hopefully one day we can avoid all this and just be present and honest and sincere with each other and just leave everything behind.
I love that. So no need for an airplane at all. There you go. Except for
No, I'll put them on the airplane and take them to a place where they can't use their devices.
I love it. I've actually taken to doing this thing where I now charge my phone at night in my office rather than in the bedroom. So now when I'm ready to go to sleep, I take out my guitar and I play some music, hopefully not bothering my upstairs or downstairs neighbors too much. But it's really making a difference in my ability to fall asleep, just not having the phone there because it's so tempting to do something with it. And I'm finding myself wanting to step back a little bit and give myself that moment of peace and a break from all of the information coming at me. So your point is very well made, Vlad. I really appreciate that. That's really cool. Gentlemen, again, I'm super grateful that you took the time to be here. And if you're listening to this, you need to follow the OG in all of the different places. All the links are in the show notes. You need to follow Rory and lift these folks up because you can hear that they're doing really amazing, really incredible things on the micro and eventually on the macro level. And I'm super grateful for the work that they're doing. If you're listening to this show, you know, as always, it's brought to you by Brain FM, my favorite app. It's brought to you by my book, Speak From Within, which is all about how to engage and inspire audiences. And it's brought to you by, as much as possible, my cat's letting me do the recording without jumping all over my equipment, which is always a good thing. Thank you again, gentlemen. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure completely. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is so much fun. All righty. If you've listened this far, you know what I always say at the very end. I remind you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the show if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2024. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope.